Psalms 119. And we'll continue going through chapter 119 in Psalms this morning. When you found that, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word, Psalms chapter 119 and verses 49 through 56. We're on the seventh letter in the seventh stanza of Psalms 119. I'm going to read the first verse, 49, and then if you'll read with me on the second verse and responsibly down through to verse number 56. Remember the word unto thy, let me start again. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Whore hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and I have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. I'm going to ask Brother Matt Urban if he would pray for us this morning and ask God to help us. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I enjoy studying, but sometimes preparing a message isn't always the easiest. And you get kind of pulled different directions. And I want to always be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and the needs of our church. Early in the week, some things that happened kind of made me upset. So I thought, I'm going to preach on that Sunday. And then later on in the week, some things kind of burdened my heart. I thought, I'm going to preach on that Sunday. The Holy Spirit of God just said, he just told me, he said, just preach on what you're supposed to preach on, what you've got planned anyway, and I can deal with those things. I just want, in my heart, is I just want people to know that Christ is real. He's real in your life. He loves you, and he is our great comfort. We are in Psalms 119 this morning, in the seventh stanza of David's psalm here. And there's a lot that, and as you begin to read it, if you just kind of casually go through it, sometimes as we do read, you miss a lot of things. You miss a lot of truth and importance. But as we begin to break down these verses and look at them, there's so much there this morning we can't all get through them. But I want to preach this morning a message entitled "Remember the Word." We are in the seventh letter, the seventh stanza, and the letter is the letter Zion. And it's equal to our letter Z, but it's the letter Zion. And it looks like a sword, really. And that's the pictograph of that is a picture of a sword or a plow. But it means the meaning of the letter is weapon or sword. And by the way, there's a lot of things I could give this morning about this letter that's very powerful, in-depth. But I don't want to get bogged down in the meaning of the letter this morning. I want to get focused on the Scripture. Just let me give you a few thoughts this morning about this letter, what pictures, what it represents, and then we'll get to the main message today because that's where I want you to focus on. But the meaning of Zion is somewhat of a paradox. Again, it means sword, and it means or weapon, but it also comes from the root word that means nourishment. It means nourishment. And so we find that's somewhat of a paradox, but we know that the Bible says about the Word of God that is a quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So the Word of God is a weapon. It is part of our arsenal in our spiritual battle. And we're to use that sword. It's a spiritual weapon, but it also is our nourishment. In 1 Peter 2:2, the Word of God is our nourishment. It says, as newborn babes, desire the milk, sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. And so the Word of God is our nourishment. It's good for young Christians, but it's also good for mature Christians. It's not only milk, but it's also meat. And so it's a sword, but it's also our nourishment. I find this letter very interesting because the letter Zion, of course, is the seventh letter. The sixth letter is the letter Vav. And the sixth letter, because it represents number six, is also a picture of man. And the letter Zion, the seventh letter, is a picture. If you look at here we see on the left there, we see the classical Hebrew style of writing this letter. And what they've done is they've taken the letter Vav and they've added the crown to it. And so now the letter Vav represents the man, number 6 represents man, but the letter seven represents the crown man. And we'll see this in our scripture today as we go along. It's a picture of Jesus Christ. It represents the crown man. Hebrews 2:9 says, but we see Jesus, who's made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. There's that God-man, but it says here, crown of glory and honor, that by the grace of God he should taste death for every man. And so Christ is the crowned man. And so he's like the Zion, where he is both our protector and our nourisher. He nourishes us. John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd, he protects the sheep, but he also nourishes them. And so this letter is an important letter to look at. And this morning we can look at other important things about this letter, but I think we'll distract from the main message today. And so I want to focus today on remember the word. We see here some insight now. I want you to notice with me, by way of introduction, I want you to notice with me David's affliction. David's affliction. In the middle of, right here now in this stanza, he begins to speak about, in the next few verses, his affliction. We see in verse number 51, the Bible says here, verse number 50 says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. He speaks of affliction. Verse number 51 says, the proud have had me greatly in derision. It's saying here now that the wicked man, he views the Christian life, he views the life of faith with contempt. The proud have mocked him, have laughed at him and pointed the finger at him and said, you know, your life as a believer is worthless, it's vain, it's empty. And so we see that today the affliction sometimes the Christian, where the wicked man, the proud, will laugh at and hold us in contempt. They will say your purpose in life is worthless and vain and empty. That Christian life. I remember years ago, the governor of Minnesota, Ventura, was that his name? Jesse Ventura, the wrestler, you know. And he said that Christianity was a crutch for weak-minded people. And he held the Christians in derision. And so we find that sometimes your life, by the wicked man, he'll hold your life, he'll hold your values as a Christian in derision. Your principles and your practices are ridiculed instead of outdated. We are living in a cancel culture today that wants to cancel out all that's good and godly. And they'll say to Christians like you and I that your values, your principles, your practices are ridiculous and they're outdated. They'll say things like your standards and your religion is nothing more than just a joke. And they want to cancel it out. They hold it in derision. The evil man points his finger and laughs. They mock at faith and what we cling to as precious, they mock it. And sometimes those people are even those of our own family, our own children, our own relatives. They'll say, your faith is ridiculous. Get a real life. I remember years, well, I won't go down that road. Anyway, he says, my affliction was that the proud have held me in derision. He said in verse number 53, he says, whore hath taken hold upon me because the wicked that forsake thy law. He now talks about this, another affliction, that his heart now is overwhelmed. He's in fear somewhat. He's in anxiety. His heart is filled with pain and discomfort and discouragement because the contempt that the wicked have for the things of God. He watches their life. He watches their principles, their standards. He watches their way of their practice. He says, they have rebelled against the things of God. But I also believe this about David. His heart was overwhelmed because he knew their judgment to come. Now listen, this morning, you know, there's part of us today that we would look at the wicked crowd today, how things are changing our country. I just heard that there's a bill in California that they want to pass. I don't think it will pass. But they want to give the parents the right to abort their babies 28 days after birth. It just amazes me. And so there's part of me that, you know, that God judged them. But I also realize what God's judgment will be. to realize that there are people that will die going to hell. David said, this is my affliction. In my affliction, the wicked man has held me in derision. They've laughed at me and they scorned me. They said my life is pointless and of no value, but I know their end. And even though God is victorious and God will reign, his heart was broken because he knew their end would be in hell. We see another affliction here, verse 55. He says, I've remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night. Boy, the nighttime. A lot of folks struggle in the nighttime. He's saying, Lord, the nighttime is the lonely hours. The nighttime is the time when I encounter loneliness. The nighttime, Lord, is the hours of worry. How many folks in the nighttime begin to worry, have anxiety about life, about family, about loved ones, about finances, about decisions they make, and they lay there on their pillows at night in the long hours of the night, looking at the darkness, worried about those things, and he says, this is my affliction. In the nighttime, I face those hours of worry. I face those hours of anxiety because it's not going the way I want it to go. In the night hours are the hours of regret. How many of us in the daytime, we stay busy and we do our jobs, we keep our minds occupied and we don't think about it. But in the nighttime, when it's just you and God, they're alone in the nighttime hours, we begin to think about the things that we should have never done. Then, old devil, he brings up your past sins. He puts them in your face and he says, you call yourself a Christian and this is how you live? Look what you did against God. Boy, we're going to play those old sins in our minds, and way back into our teenage and our young adult years. We're going to think about, boy, we have these nights of regret. And so this was David's affliction, being held in derision, overwhelmed by the life of the wicked, but also in the lonely night hours of thinking about his own life. But then I see in this verse, I see David's comfort. Look at verse number 50, it says again. That was a quick trip. I appreciate them trying to keep her in church. I know many folks have junior church, and I'm not necessarily opposed to that, but I like families to be together. And so I appreciate your patience. I know it's a little bit distracting, but you should have seen Sam when he was younger. He was way worse than that. And so... In fact, I watched his dad take him out every now and then still, so. Anyway, we love them, and please don't be embarrassed. And if you're mad about it, come see me afterwards, and we'll have a talk ourselves. David, now in his affliction, he said that he reveals to us his comfort. And this morning, this is my heart today. This is where I want you to see this morning, is David's comfort. Because we all have afflictions. Now, by the way, a lot of our afflictions are not as bad as we think they are. Some of our afflictions are because they're self-made and self-induced, self-inflicted. But God is our comforter this morning. So I want you to get that this morning, that God, David said this in my affliction, he said, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. So now as he begins to talk about his affliction, he said, listen, though I've faced some afflictions and I've faced some heartaches and I've faced some trials, my comfort has been the Word of God. Today's message is about finding comfort in God's Word. The devil has many Christians today hobbled with the lie, yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said. And we find no comfort in God's Word because we believe the devil's lie, yea, hath God said. And by the way, when you begin to doubt God's Word, or neglect God's Word, you'll find no comfort in the Word of God. And today this Word is precious. It's a precious Word. It's precious today. And the Word of God, we can find the great comfort in that, but you have to believe that God's Word is quick and powerful. It's powerful. God's Word is powerful. Hey, listen, by His Word He hung the stars in space. By His Word He spoke the world into existence. By His Word He can change anything He wants to change. His Word is powerful. You find that His Word is profitable. It's profitable. God said His Word is good for you and I, for doctrine, to teach us what to tell us what we ought to believe, what is truth. It's good for a reproof. Now, I know that as we become adults, we don't want to be corrected. But God's Word tells us what to believe, and He tells us where we're wrong. He reproves us. He instructs us in righteousness. For what reason? God's heart is that you and I may be men and women that are perfect before Him. To be like Him. And so His Word is powerful, it's profitable, and it's also potent. It's the milk and the meat that gives us strength and nourishment. You know, I don't know what it is. You know, I'm trying to lose a few pounds. The other day, my friend Ryan and I were talking, and we want to go skydiving. I'm not a big fan of heights, but I think, you know what? I just want to go skydiving. So I have to look it up. I got to read about it. I'm overweight. I'm too big. I got to lose about 40 pounds to jump out of a plane. And there are times when we're dieting. I might lose more than that if I jump out of the plane. But there are times when dieting is not so hard. It's like, that's easy. But you know, this past week, I don't know what it is. But I've been hungry every hour of the day this past week. And if you don't eat, I don't know about you, but if I don't eat, I get crabby. You know, I have to apologize for what I said while I was hangry, you know. But we got to take food in to grow, to be nourished. Christian, today, if you neglect this word, you'll find no comfort. You'll find no help. I would say that many Christians today are bankrupt. Spiritually. They sit in the pews, they wear the right clothes, they carry the right Bible, but they're bankrupt because they don't know this word. They don't love this word. And God's word will give you milk and meat, it gives you strength and nourishment. Today I want to preach this for a little while on remembering the word. Why is it that God's word can bring you comfort? Number one is this. The word of God is our hope because God cannot lie. Verse number 49, watch what David says here. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. He said to God, he begins to pray now. He says, Lord, you have caused me to hope in your word. Why? Because God cannot lie. I find it very interesting, this phrase here. Remember the word unto thy servant. There are seven times in the Bible when the prayer is, Lord, remember me. We find in Judges 16:28, Samson said, Lord, remember me, as he defeated the Philistines there in his last moment of life. In 1 Samuel 1:11, Hannah said in a prayer about wanting a baby, Lord, remember me. Nehemiah, three times in Nehemiah 13, Nehemiah said, Lord, remember me in the works that I have done as he served God. In Job 14:13, Job said to God, Lord, remember me. In Psalms 106, verse number 4, David said to God in his prayer, remember me. In Jeremiah 15:15, Jeremiah even said, Lord, remember me. Then probably one of the most famous ones in Luke chapter number 23, the thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me this day in your kingdom in paradise. Remember me. This is not what David says in this prayer. He doesn't say, Lord, remember me. He says, Lord, remember thy word unto me. Remember thy word unto thy servant. He does not ask for some new promise. But the Lord would fulfill his word. Today, Christian, I want to remind you that you and I need no new promises. Amen. We don't need some new vision. Some new spooky thing to happen to us. We don't need some new sign. God, give me a sign. He's given you a sign right here. 66 books of the Bible. That's your sign. And we don't need no new word. Hey, we need God's word. We need God to fulfill His word. But think about this for a moment. The servant does not say, remember my service to thee, but remember thy word to me. In the time of David's affliction, it wasn't important for the master to remember the servant's work, but for the master to remember his words. And this is not implying that God forgets what he said. It reveals a heart of a tender heart of grief and sorrow, of longing and pleading and praying to God. God, remember. Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't want God to always remember my works. He didn't say, Lord, remember my works. That'd be tragic sometimes. If God did remember our works, we would hang our head in shame. Because though we sit in this room today, and many of us don't know all your works, but God does. God knows the hidden works of your hands and the hidden works of your heart and your mind. He knows all those works. He didn't say, God, remember my works. I think sometimes we become too arrogant with God. We want Him to remember us like we're somehow something that to be reckoned with. That somehow we've impressed God. That God does love us today. He wants to be our comforter. But we ought to come to Him humbly and say, Lord, remember Thy word. Not remember our works. When God, listen, we can rejoice and sing in the nighttime because God remembers His words. John 17:17, the Bible says, Thy word is truth. And so David here, he asked us, Solomon, he asked the Lord, remember Thy word unto Thy servant. Remember Your promises to me, God. Remember. You see, there is great comfort in His word because God cannot lie. Look with me at the book of Titus, chapter number 1. Go to the New Testament here. Hold your place in Psalms 119. Titus, chapter number 1. Look with me at verse number 1. Look what God declares here. It says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Look at verse number 2 now, you're there. Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. How can you and I find comfort in God's word? Well, He does not lie. You know, there used to be a day when men's word meant something. I like that. You don't need a contract. Just a good old handshake, and this is what I'm going to do, and you can count upon that. But the fact of the matter is today, you always can't count on men's word, or their contracts, or the paper they sign them on. But God does not lie. He promised, and He keeps His promises, and so we can find comfort in God's word, because God cannot lie. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 with me. Hebrews chapter 13. And look with me at verse number 5. You know the verse, but I want you to see something here. Hebrews 13:5 says, Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath, what class? He has said. Who? God. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Here's our comfort today. Our comfort is, Lord, not to look at me, God. Lord, not look what I have done. Lord, doesn't look at my word and my promises. Lord, because You said that You're my helper, You said You're going to leave me, forsake me, then I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. You see, we can say what God's word says because God said it. That's our comfort. That's our comfort when the evil man holds us in derision. When they point their finger and laugh at us, hey, I can say, my God said that He's my helper. Hey, God promised me some things. Hey, listen, yesterday on the street corner, and by the way, you know, down there, we hardly ever get any kickback from people, but every now and then, some idiot goes by and shouts something out the window. You know, so yesterday somebody shouted out the window something about Satan and gave us the middle finger, you know, and told us that we were number one. And, you know, that used to bother me years ago. It doesn't bother me a bit today. But because I know what God has said in His Word. His words, listen, I don't need the comfort of the evil, the comfort of the wicked man or their approval. I need God's comfort. I need God's comfort. Listen, if you don't know the God's Word, you're not going to find any comfort. But David said, listen, in my affliction, His word has been my comfort. And so the word of God is our hope because God cannot lie. Today I want to encourage you to read it. So now you say, well, preacher, that's just simple preaching. Well, I know it's simple. But if it's so simple, why don't we do it? You got to read it. Listen to it. Hear it preached and taught. Love it. Think about it. Get up in the morning and say, Lord, here I am this morning. And use your word to help me today. Get in the book. Let it feed you. Let it be your comfort. Oftentimes when we face afflictions, we face hardships, what do we run to? What do we run to? I know I'm a comfort eater. If I get stressed out, you know where I go to? I go to the refrigerator. I should put the Bible in there and keep the Bible in my refrigerator. I get skinny and my soul get fatter. Well, oftentimes we run to the refrigerator and get out a bowl of ice cream and chocolate syrup. You know, something like that. They said meatloaf was comfort food. Don't make me meatloaf. Make me pie. That's what I want. I don't want meatloaf. I want pie. Maybe a taco or two would be all right. Some folks run the drugs, right? And these all are promises of fake comfort. But you see, we got to get to the word. We got to run to God's word. God's word. Here's a phrase this morning. God's word is enough. God's word is enough. We have today in our ignorant society of smart alecks, we have made God's word insufficient. And we will say, well, we need more than that. We need higher education. We need more learning. We need help. We need small groups. And we need this thing. We need that. We need that to help us. No, God's word is sufficient. It's sufficient. It's enough to meet all your needs. It's enough. Number two is the word of God is my comfort because, catch this now, because it changes me in my affliction. Now, watch this. Look at Psalms 119, verse number 50 this morning. So he says in verse number 49, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. That was his hope, God's word. And it says, this is my comfort in my affliction. What? God's word. It says this, for thy word hath quickened me. You see, our prayer, when we face affliction, what is our prayer usually? God, change my affliction. God, deliver me from my situation. I mean, we might face a heartache, a financial setback, a health issue. We say, God, change this. Change my situation. God, change my affliction. And God, why won't you change my problem? Well, sometimes your problems is a result of you and I sin. Right? A little quiet. We don't want to face that, do we? But here's what God does. You see, God oftentimes, he'll leave the situation the way it is. And he'll change us. He'll change us. You see, the affliction did not change. The afflicted was quickened here in the book of Psalms. Here is our comfort. In the affliction, the word of God has quickened me. Now, if I'm laying down, I can drown in 10 inches of water if I'm laying on my back. But 10 inches of water, I can drown there. But if I'm quickened, if I'm standing up, the water's only a little bit past my ankles. See, that's what God does. You see, David here, he says, listen, in my affliction, his word quickened me. He was overwhelmed in his affliction. He was overwhelmed in sorrow. But when God quickened him, he stands up on his feet. And now the affliction is only ankle deep now. The affliction didn't change. But David changed. God changed him. Listen, if I'm trying to deal with my afflictions in the flesh, leaning on my own understanding, it takes only a few struggles to overwhelm me. Well, this has been one of those weeks where it seemed like in every corner there's been a fight. And boy, by Saturday afternoon, I'm like, Lord, I don't know what you're trying to do, but I'm a little bit overwhelmed here. And so, by the way, God didn't change the afflictions. The same problems I had on Monday, the same problems I have today. You know what God did? God began to change me. God began to quicken me. And so when I begin to lean upon God's word, trust in God's word, I'm able to stand against the wiles of the devil. John 6:63, Christ said this, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak they unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You see, when I begin to try to handle things in my own flesh, in my own wisdom, I'm going to jaw every time. But David said, listen, there's been my hope. God's word's been my hope. And in my affliction and in my heartache and in my struggles, it has quickened me. Listen, God's word has quickened us in salvation. Right? According to the book of Ephesians, we were dead in our sins and trespasses, but he quickened us. He gave us life. We were born again. The same way that quickens you for salvation, same way that quickens you for service. To walk in faith. See, this word is powerful. And that was David's encouragement. Hey, listen, he's being honest here with us. I've been in affliction. I've struggled. Now listen, I've been along long to know that there is no Christian that can say, I got it all together. On Sundays, man, we're on cloud nine. We come in here like we have no problems at all, that we have arrived at Christianity. But Monday morning comes. We face those old fleshly nature and those old demons once again. We struggle. And it's just, it, by the way, it's just not you by yourself. It's you and God. It's you and His Word. Let God's Word change you in your affliction. See, once again, when we face affliction, where do we turn to? Where do we run to? All of a sudden, we have the idiot box in our homes. And when we face affliction, we just go there and we sit with our minds turned off and we just get taken away into some drama or some soap opera or some movie that takes us away. And we think, I'm just going to retreat for a little while. But what it does, it weakens us. Why don't we turn to God's Word? Why does God's Word sit on the end tables and the coffee tables, unopened, covered with dust? Why don't we go like David and say, David, say, God, I'm gonna find comfort in your word. Let God's word change you. Read it. Listen to it. Memorize it. Meditate upon it. Love God's word. Number three this morning, and lastly, is this. David, now he's talking about comfort in the word of God. It's been his comfort. It's quickened him in his trials. It's given him life and energy. It fitted him for working for God and being faithful. But here's number three this morning. The Word of God is our comfort to the degree of our obedience to it. Now watch what David says. Look at verse number 56. This I had, that's his comfort now, this I had because I kept thy precepts. Now here's the pivoting point today in our scripture. David, now he's saying, Lord, remember thy word on thy servant. Remember thy promises, God. That's been my hope. Your word has been my hope. Your promises have been my hope. This is what's been encouraging me and kept me going. Then he says, this I had because I kept God's word. David could ask God to remember his word because David remembered his word. Look at verses 52 and 55. Verse number 52 says, I remembered thy judgments, O Lord. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and I've comforted myself. Verse number 55 says, I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and I have kept thy law. David could say, God, remember thy word on thy servant, because David could say, Lord, I remembered your word. I've obeyed your word. In fact, watch this. Look what it says here. Watch it. Follow along with David's prayer now. Look at verse number 52. The proud have had me greatly in derision. There he is being mocked, laughed at, pointed his finger at. You're vain. Your life is worthless. Christianity is a joke. Watch what it says now. Yet have I not declined from thy law. God, the proud can say your life is meaningless as a Christian. Your faith has no value. That there is no God. That your God is dead. And if your God's so great, why do we have all these problems for? But he said, God, I've not changed. God, I've not changed. When they mocked and ridiculed me, I did not change. I kept your word. Hey, God, listen, when they accuse me of being old-fashioned and outdated, I've kept thy word. I've not changed. When they accuse me of being cultish and bigoted and a mean spirit and a hater, God, I did not change. I kept your word. I did not change when they accused me of being wrong. When they laughed and mocked and pointed their fingers at me, I did not change. I didn't change going to church. I didn't change reading the book. I didn't change trusting in your word. I didn't change my prayer life. I didn't change my worship. I didn't change my music. I didn't change my standards. God, I have kept your word. See, today, your comfort will be to the degree that you obey this word. To the degree that you love this word and obey this word, that'll be the degree of your comfort. Wait, listen. I don't know if I'm getting through this morning. It feels, for some reason today, flat in here. I'm not sure why it feels flat, but it feels flat to me. And I'm probably too nervous about something. And I just want to be helped this morning. We are living in such a crazy time. And the church today, God's people are constantly being pushed to change. They're being mocked and ridiculed, accused of being cultish and bigoted and haters, accused of being irrelevant, out of date, and society says, you're the problem. Anything that's good and holy, they laugh at and mock. I mean, you can't read the headlines without going, my lands, how can it get any dumber? How can it get any worse? And the temptation is, and I watch it now, I'm watching Christians change. I'm watching change to the pressure of the unsaved man. Because we want to be acceptable. We want to be validated. We want to be part of the group. But in that there is no comfort. In that approval, there's still torment. In that approval, there's still anxiety and fear and frustration. That's why they're all on drugs. What's the wicked man say? He's not saying you need the word of God. He says you need a pill. Yes. This is if the unsaved life is so great, why are they all on anxiety medicine? Yeah. Why is America drugged to the hilt on all kinds of medications? I don't want what they have. And so David says here, Lord, when they've held me in derision, I've kept your law. I'm not declining from it. Christians, I want to encourage you, keep God's word. Don't change your church. Don't change your Bible reading. Don't change your prayer life. Don't change your worship. Don't change your music. Hey, don't change your standards. Because God's word will give you great comfort. Look at verse 53 and 54. Horeth thick and hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. He said, Lord, though the wicked forsake your statutes, I made them my song. They're my joy. Today I know this is not, going to be on the classic messages somewhere, some podcast or some newspaper. But boy, this morning, I'll tell you something, young folks and moms and dads. You want to find real joy? It's in the book. It's in the Bible. Listen, we say amen to that. But where will your book be tomorrow morning? Where will your book be when you're confronted to compromise? Say, preacher, I know it's not easy. And there are times you've got to say to your family and your friends and even sometimes to the church house, I'm not doing that. It's against the word of God. Because God has said, so I must say, yes, sir, God. And he says, listen, because the wicked have forsaken thy statutes, the pressure is, you forsake God's statutes. But he said, I've made them my song in the nighttime. They're my joy. They're my strength. They're my peace. I made them my song in the night. He said, lastly, verse number 55, I've remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night and have kept thy law. He's saying, Lord, when I face my own flesh and temptations, I have kept thy law. When I face my own struggles and loneliness, I've kept thy law. When I have faced my own frustrations, my own doubt, my own insecurities, what do? I just keep your law. You know what? I'm not a good counselor. A lot of times people ask and say, "Preacher, what do I do?" And be honest, I gotta say, "Lord, I don't know what to tell them." What do you tell them then? That's what the Bible says. What's the book say? Christian today, I don't know what you're in. But I'm going to tell you, the only way to take success in the Christian life is by that book. By saying, when I face my own doubts and insecurities, when I face my own troubles, Lord, I've kept thy law. Preacher, I don't know what to do next. Obey God's word. I know it sounds contrite. I know it sounds simple. I know it sounds, you know, that's shallow. But if it's so shallow, then why do we struggle with it? Why is it the hard thing? I think any time you go against the flesh and against the world's culture, try to cling on to God's word, I think it's always a battle at times. You see, walking in the word of God is a believer's comfort and confidence. See, today I want to say this. It's the disobedient that are tormented in the night. It's the wayward son, the prodigal son, and the carnal that have no peace. I think just in a few more verses in our chapter, David writes this, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Now we take that to mean that where, you know, if Sam loves God's book, and I call Sam some stupid name or call his wife a name or degrade them, that if he really loves God and loves his book, he won't be offended. Yeah. That's not what it's saying. Now, if he loves God, we can get these things right. I'm not saying that we should do that. But the idea is, I can't go around being a jerk and just say what I want to say. And if you love God's word, it won't bother you. Because we all know that's not true, right? Yes. It bothers us. Right? I've made you mad before.
No.
You're the only one. I'm fixing to, though. Just hang tight. No, I'm not doing it on purpose. I might make Sam mad on purpose, but not you. And you've made me mad before. Yeah. We've been offended. Right? What's God's word saying here? God's saying, listen, if you love my word and my ways won't offend you. You won't get this point where I'm quitting. I'm done. This is God's way of treating me. I'm done. I thought if I loved God's word, if I did certain things, I thought that God would make me prosperous. That God would make my way easy. But this way is hard. This way is confusing at times. This way has left me in the nighttime, sometimes lonely. Listen, the wicked men have pointed the finger at me and laughed at me. I've been mocked and been ridiculed. I'm done with this. God said, listen, if you love my word, you won't be. You know why? They can go past us on Romberg and Elm and holler out the window, profanity, and give us the finger. We keep on going back. Because I know what God's word does for me. And I know that they need God's word. You know, I remember going down to Romberg and Elm and spending money on a Pizza Hut building to have church down there. Because this city needs Dubuque. And I'm not going to let their ways and their wickedness offend me and say, I'm done serving God because of what they have done. No, it motivates me. But I want to love God's word more. This idea, well, preacher, I'm just done being a Christian. I'm done serving God. Then you haven't been in this book. You don't know His word. You've not loved His word. You've not loved His promises. So many Christians today are on the verge. You know, we just do the very minimum. Be labeled a Christian. Because somewhere along the line, you got offended. You got bitter and angry. You got hurt. Say something this morning. The cure is this. The comfort is this. The Word of God. Word of God. Today, I would guess today, if we had to put upon our screen today, our names and our times in the book, we'd probably be embarrassed. We won't read the book for an hour, but we'll watch the movies for 2 hours. Right? We won't read a book for 45 minutes, but we'll go to a restaurant and spend hours at a restaurant, at a ball game. I'm not against those things, but it really reveals our priority. Let me close with this. Some of you, it's a little hot in here. Some of you are a little sleepy. And again, I don't know why it is, but this feels to me like it's flat in here this morning. It's probably myself. And I know I get nervous. I start talking fast and get stuttering. And then it makes it worse because I get really self-conscious about it. And I really want to be helped this morning from God. I want to do God right.
Amen. Amen.
Good. Our hope is in the man of the word. Why is this word so important? Let me show you one last place and I'll be done. Look at John chapter number 1, please. John chapter 1. Do you ever listen to Adrian Rogers? Anybody here listen to Adrian Rogers? That guy, I don't always agree with everything he says, but he is such a great speaker. He never stutters. He never messes up. He's just so smooth in delivery. And I listen to that and I think, I don't know how he did that, but what a talent that he has. Look at John chapter 1. Look at verse number 1. It says this. In the beginning was the what? Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him. Who's that? The Word. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth out of darkness. The light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. So we find that in the beginning was the Word. Look at verse number 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who's the Word? Jesus. Why do I love the book? It's all about Jesus.
Amen.
Why do I find comfort in the book? Because it's His words. He's our comforter. What do I find hope in the book? Because it's about Jesus. Look what the Bible says in verse number 12. But as many as received Him, that's the Word, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on His name. You see, our hope of today is not just a piece of leather and some paper and some black words. It's more than that. Behind the Bible, behind the book, is the man of the Word, Jesus. So David was saying this, and David was saying this, because I face afflictions, but Jesus has been my comforter. He has been my help and my stay. He has been my refuge. He has been my Savior. He's God. He's the Word. Today, Christian, I want to encourage you, don't look at that like this is just some black book with white pages and black words. No, today we're comforted today because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Hey, he's our everything. He's our everything. He's our life. Hey, he's our Savior. Now, I'm going to tell you something this morning. If God's intent were to destroy us, there'd be no John 1:1. There'd be no John 1:12. This idea that, well, God's up there, you know, He's not paying attention, He's oblivious to me, and He's just out to get me. Why would He send Jesus Christ to save you then? His intent is not to destroy you and I. His intent is to save us and to be our comforter. And that's what I want to close with this thought, and I know it might be a little rough, but listen to me this morning. There is no comfort in an idol. This morning I'm convinced, as I watch people, and I watch my own life at times, that we have taken Jesus Christ and made Him our own customized idol. Today we live in a day of the world, you can customize anything. Customize your car, customize your house, customize coffee cups, customize the way you dress, you can customize your body, you know, whatever you want, you can tattoos and earrings and piercings and plastic surgery, you can customize. We've done the same thing to Jesus. We've customized Him to fit our needs and our wants and our comforts. He's become an idol. And that's why folks today profess to be Christians have no comfort. Because when trial comes, their idol is simply a stump with no head, no legs, and no arms. Dead. But that's not my Jesus. But you can't make a Jesus up that you want. It's got to be the Jesus of the book. This book. And today I'm concerned that many Christians today are serving idols. So when trials come, they're swept away. Because their Jesus has been their own idol, made in their own image what they want. Today we're comforted because of Jesus of the book. Does that make sense this morning? Today, get in the book. Get in the book. Lord, today we come to you in closing. And Father, this morning, I'm so glad today for the Bible. That's inspired. That's powerful. And God, it's true because, Lord, you cannot lie. And Father, the word of God today is for me. To find your promises of everlasting life, of forgiveness of sins, of salvation, of help, of comfort. God, today I pray that we be like the psalmist here and pray, Lord, remember the word that they had given on thy servant, Father. Let's all stand this morning today as we stand together and close the service today. Can I ask you a question this morning? Have you been saved? Have you received Christ as your Savior? Not have you prayed a prayer, but have you really received? Have you believed in Him, trusted Him? I'd ask this morning if you repeated the prayer after somebody. Was there a time in your life when you've actually trusted in Christ and Him alone as your Savior? Today, is He your comforter? Is He your help? Is He your Lord? God will keep His promise because God cannot lie. This morning, will you keep His word because it's truth? I have found that the most unhappy Christians that struggle, angry, frustrated, the folks that know the book but don't live the book. But you find Christians that have a peace, not because they're better than anybody else, not because somehow they got a secret or a private revelation or a vision. I find the people that are the happiest, the most peaceful Christians are those that are in the book, living the word. So I want to encourage you today to find comfort in God's word. Lord, today we come to you now in closing. We're very thankful today, Father, for your precious word and the time together this morning. God bless today, I pray. Bless our afternoon together. May we think about the word of God today, the message this morning. Then God, I pray to bring us back tonight. And Lord, help us tonight, I pray as well. Father, bless the messages and, Lord, the singing, Father, in our services today. We pray in your name and ask.